it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me right now, Stephen Spector. You guys remember Stephen. He's been on the show before to talk Chiefs. Stephen worked with us back at 980 for many years until he left for Kansas City sometime around 2014, 2015, I think, Stephen, somewhere around there. And he is the program director and a talk show host at Sports Talk The Fan 96.5 in Kansas City. You can follow Stephen on X on Twitter at Stephen Spector 10. Let me just start with this because I think the whole league is talking about it after one of the more lopsided box score wins I've ever seen against the Raiders on Sunday, but four out of the last five, two straight, including the game a week ago Sunday against the Lions at Arrowhead. And now everybody has come to the conclusion that as the team's gotten healthy, Kansas City once again is the team to beat and the team that will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Is that what you guys think?
That's the dominant conversation here, and the prevailing thought is, yes, that this is the favorite to come out of the AFC, and I think it's twofold. One, you mentioned they are 4-3, but the rest of the NFL seems like they're 4-3. Yeah. I mean, the Bills now have two losses. You know, the Chargers are 4-3 and going on the wrong direction. The Broncos are 5-2, but that's a miraculous 5-2 after narrowly escaping the two New York teams. You're not really scared of anybody in the AFC North. Yeah, the Colts are 6-1, but you know, if the playoffs started today and Daniel Jones and the Colts were taking on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, I think the prevailing thought would be, yeah, the Chiefs are the better team. So in a muddled AFC, the Chiefs are certainly playing the best football in going into week 8. Yes, that's true. The second part is, and the conversation that's happening now here in Kansas City is, you know, despite a 15-2 last year, that was not a very good Chiefs team. And it was not an enjoyable watch. They got, let's call it what it is, a little bit lucky at the end of games. But that was a flawed roster with not a lot of good offensive weapons and a good defense. And now all of a sudden, the Chiefs have a good defense and what appears to be now the best offense in football. You know, they made all these investments in Rashee Rice in the second round a couple years ago. Xavier Worthy last year in the first round. They signed Hollywood Brown. Up until last week, they'd never played together. You know, it took 14 months for those three wide receivers to play together. And now that you have those three guys, you add in Juju, Kelce doesn't have to be the main focus point. The offensive line, you know, a little bit banged up going into Monday night against the Commanders is off to a great start. This is now back to an offense that we saw in 2018, 2019, 2020, where if you are not going to score 28 points against the Chiefs, you are not in the conversation of winning against them. So to answer your question, I think they should be the AFC favorites. That doesn't mean they're going to win. But right now, they're playing the best football in the AFC.
Yeah, you answered my next question, and I thought the answer would be that this is a much better team this year in terms of their potential because of the offensive, you know, weaponry now than it was last year. You know, Josh Simmons was that first round pick, picked after, by the way, Washington selected Josh Connerly Jr. At tackle as well. And there's a really odd story about your first round pick from Ohio State. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, so this is a guy who, you know, if you listen to the draft experts, would have been picked in the top 10 if he's healthy, but he had a weird knee injury at Ohio State last year, and he fell to the Chiefs at the final pick of the first round. Wasn't expected to be the starter, wasn't expected to be ready by training camp, and all of a sudden he was. And he was their best offensive lineman from the jump. And Kevin, you'll understand this reference. A lot of people think he's like a young Trent Williams. And you remember how good Trent was
from
the early days in Washington.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Trent Williams comparisons to Josh Simmons. And a couple weeks ago, you know, they were going into that Monday night game against Jacksonville, and all of a sudden he popped up with a questionable with an illness. And then he was a no-show on Sunday night against the Lions, and obviously did not play this last Sunday morning against the Raiders. And they're just saying it's a family situation. There's no information out there. He's not with the team, but you know the expectation is he's certainly not going to play on Monday night. I mean, unless something happens in the next 24 to 48 hours before Andy Reid speaks. But the Chiefs are certainly without their dominant left tackle. Now, they've replaced him with the guy that they made a splash with in the offseason in Jalen Moore, so they're good at left tackle. They're certainly not weak there, but they're not at their full strength without their first-round pick.
Is it one of the things, so people don't know exactly what it is specifically, but is it an AWOL situation? I mean, did he just leave the team, or is this excused?
I truthfully don't know the answer to that. The media doesn't know the answer to that, but if you were to poll people here, it would skew towards AWOL, unexcused absence. But that is not a confirmed opinion. That is what the media believes to be.
Strange situation, because he really did start off like a house of fire. And I was actually, you know, Washington had the opportunity to draft him. And I'm wondering if, you know, something that's going on in his life right now, and you pray for him, and if it's a family situation, if it's a personal situation, you want it to work out. But I'm wondering if that's one of those things that maybe it's the reason he fell a little bit further in the draft than a lot of people thought. Who knows? All right.
Yeah, there were rumblings about, you know, the dreaded word character concerns going into the draft, but nobody really ever uncovered an issue with the law or issue with teammates. And so maybe it ties back something into that. But the reason he really slipped in the draft is he had a knee injury that is uncommon in the NFL. And that's mostly why he slipped. But again, you know, I'm not in the inside of those draft rooms where they know every piece of information, but that could certainly be one of those causes that had him, you know, fall out of the top 10 to number 32 overall.
Have you guys been talking in Kansas City this week about how bad Washington is defensively?
No, because after that, you know, there's 24 hours of I've never seen anybody beat another NFL team like that.
Yep.
That was Monday's conversation. Tuesday was much more about the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC West, and this is the best team that they've had in a number of years. Honestly, the focus has not even really started on Washington due to it being Monday night.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the NFL schedule is a little bit weird, but it's mostly been about the Chiefs are back and the national conversation surrounding the Chiefs. So our focus on the Commanders hasn't even really started at the moment.
So
outside of J.D. Daniels being hurt, obviously, that goes without saying.
Right. They are right now a horrendous defensive football team, especially if you look at every opponent they've played that's had capability offensively. It's been a nightmare, as it was on Sunday against a really good offensive team in Dallas. So one more question about the offense, because you've told us a lot about it already. You know, with Rice and Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Smith-Schuster, the key, though, was Rice, right? Like, getting Rashee Rice back is a game changer for that offense.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. But the other game changer is Xavier Worthy. And we saw this. There was a lot of panic here through the first 3 weeks of the season. You know, they Rashee Rice is out. He's suspended for the first 6 weeks for some off-field incidents 2 years ago. But Xavier Worthy coming into year two. And then all of a sudden, on the third play of the season, he runs into Travis Kelce, and they lose their top weapon. They then struggle to score against Philadelphia. They barely beat the Giants. And then all of a sudden, he comes back, and they haven't scored less than 30 points since Xavier Worthy's return. So there's some precursor to getting Rashee Rice back. Now, Rashee Rice is the better wide receiver. I would rather have Rashee Rice than Xavier Worthy. But the combination of what those two guys do on the field, Worthy being the burner but still a great receiver down the field, stretching the defense, and Rashee Rice doing all the dirty work underneath, the catch, run after the catch stuff, the two of them complement each other. And then Juju and Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce all play off of those two guys. So, again, we got to see 4 weeks of it last year with Rice and Worthy on the field. We got to see it for basically one half of football against the Raiders because they called off the dogs in the third quarter. So it'll be interesting to see how those two play with each other, but I think it's 1A and 1B between Worthy and Rice about who's the most important guy.
Sticking with the offense, actually, does Juwan Taylor, how many penalties does he have a game? Your right tackle. I mean, by the way, the only reason we know that is because we, you know, every NFL fan gets to see the Chiefs basically every week. But it is amazing to me how many times he either lines up, you know, too far back or false starts.
Yep. So he had a number of issues in week one in Brazil. Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, said, we're going to address it. They didn't have any issues in week two or three. Then he had issues in week four, and he said, all right, this time I'm going to address it. And they haven't had any Juwan Taylor issues in the last 3 weeks. So
really,
I guess they just need to keep reminding him that you need to stay on sides, you need to stop holding. But listen, the guy's been the most penalized offensive lineman in the league for over half a decade. So he has a penalty problem, but he is currently on a pretty good three-week streak of keeping it quiet.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the numbers. So, good three-week stretch. He's still second in the league in total penalties against. On the Raider game, I talked about this on the show either yesterday or on Monday. I've never seen a box score look like that. I mean, you were, you know, witness to the game start to finish. I know the Raiders.
I turned it off in the third quarter. Once Gardner Minshew comes in, I'm on to red zone in the witching hour.
That 30-3 first downs, you know, 400 yards to 80 or whatever, 77 plays to 30 plays. So in talking about that game, what was the conversation? I'm assuming there were some – I was looking for some level of information regarding records set, and I couldn't really find it, but I've never seen a box score in an NFL game that looked like that.
You know, we've seen scores where, you know, like I'm thinking about the Dolphins and Broncos 2 years ago, where it was like 70-20.
Yeah,
whatever it was. But I remember watching that game. It was like, it's not like the Dolphins or the Broncos didn't belong. Like, still two NFL teams, still, you know, guys moving the ball up and down the field. It was like varsity versus JV on Sunday morning. I mean, it was one of our afternoon hosts said Ohio State basically could have done what the Raiders did on Sunday. And nobody thinks that any college team could compete with an NFL team. But that Raiders team looked as disinterested and as heartbroken as you could possibly look as a professional football player. Then you lose Max Crosby and Jacoby Myers isn't playing. Brock Bowers was ruled out earlier in the week. It was just, it was never good from the get-go, but I've never seen a team as inept as they were offensively. You know, defensively, you can say what you want. The Chiefs were, you know, rolling on all cylinders. They get Rashee Rice back. But really, offensively, I've never seen a worse performance from an NFL team as I did from the Raiders on Sunday. It was just pathetic.
All right, tell me what Washington gets to go up against offense against the Chief defense. Obviously, it's no Jaden Daniels in the game, but I've loved this Karloftis since they drafted him. Tell me about, you know, the players and the kind of defense Kansas City's playing this year.
Yeah, the weakness for the Chiefs team, if you're talking about the weakness of the 53-man roster, is pass rush. They have not been great this year, and Karlaftis has been fine, and Chris Jones is getting double teamed a lot, but they do not put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So if you're looking for a glimmer of hope, if you're a Commanders fan, it's maybe Marcus Mariota has a little bit more time to make the right decision. And, you know, if McLaurin and Debo are back and, you know, Kroski Merritt's got a little bit of time or, you know, to make his cuts and the running game gets going and Mariota can use his legs, that's a glimmer of hope if you're looking for something offensively. But the secondary is good. The linebackers are playing great. They made a switch with their safeties a couple weeks ago. So secondary and linebackers are not where you're going to get the Chiefs. Where you're going to get the Chiefs is good protection from your offensive line, double-teaming Chris Jones, keeping Karlaftis off him. But if you don't get pressure, you can make some plays in the passing game. So if Mariota is able to do that, that's a recipe and a route for success. But again, it starts at 28 points. And if you don't think Marcus Mariota and the Commanders are putting up 28 points, it's really a dead issue.
Yeah, that's 28 against a normal defense. That's my biggest concern going in as well. So you've just summed it up. 28 from Washington, where they have no shot, unless we get one of those crazy turnover games. And Washington's created the fewest turnovers of any team in the league, not named the Jets so far. So, and you guys don't turn it over, right, for the most part?
Patrick Mahomes, I think, has two interceptions for the season. They don't really fumble the ball. I'm knocking on wood as I say all these things. So, yeah, it would take, you know, it happened in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago where a couple turnovers ended up coming back to bite the Chiefs. So if that happens, all bets are off in any NFL game. But keeping the ball and is one of the strengths of the Chiefs offense for sure.
By the way, here's a question. Harrison Butker, and it started kind of last year, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's not the kicker that he was a few years ago.
Nope. They held him back against the Raiders this past weekend, but he has had a mistake in 5 of 6 games. And those mistakes, you can point directly to a couple of those 3 losses. So he has certainly not been... It's not a distance issue. It has been an accuracy issue. So he's still good from 50-plus, but you're talking about an extra point here or a chip shot there, it's no longer an automatic done deal.
Steven Spector, everybody. Yes, the guy that was on the air with me producing the day that the earthquake hit in August of 2011. That means we'll have a 15-year anniversary coming up this summer that we will celebrate together. I'll call you to remind you of that. Always good to catch up. Hope things are well. Enjoy the game Monday night.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for having me as always.
All right, that is it for me today. Doc's going to take over here in the final 2 hours. He's next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.